Blog Talk Radio.
Father God, good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Tedline. Father God, in the name of Jesus this morning, just want to salute you. Just want to bless you because you've been such a wonderful, wonderful blessing to us. And Father God, we want to just really, really salute you this morning. So I think I'm going to start off just saluting the Lord Jesus in a couple songs here.
Oh. glorify you. No other name where men can be saved but by the name of Jesus. And not only that, listen, there's healing. If you're sick, just touch your body right now and begin to call the name of Jesus. love him? Come on, do you love that man?
Praise God. Praise God.
It is like oil of great price on your head, flowing down over your face, coming down to the edge of your robe. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, for He has anointed you to bring good news to the poor. He has sent you to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free. A new anointing is coming your way. Your like oil of great price on your head, flowing down over your face, coming down to the edge of your robe. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, for he has anointed you to bring good news to the poor. He has sent you to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free. A new anointing is coming your way, refreshing just for today, with wings of glory. Come fan the flame, anointing coming your way. A new anointing is coming your way, refreshing just for today, with wings of glory. Come fan the flame, anointing coming your way. It is anointing to heal, cancel all debt. It is anointing that frees from sin and shame. It is anointing to deliver. Release me to be all I've been created for, my destiny. A new anointing is coming your way, refreshing just for today, with wings of glory. Come fan the flame, anointing coming your way. We embrace the new, let go the old, let your light so shine in me. We embrace the new, we embrace the new, let go the old, let your light so shine in me. We embrace the new,
Father God, as we come before you this morning in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord God, to manifest your grace, manifest your love, manifest your power, and manifest your glory over this chair line. Father God, I pray right now for the windows of heaven to be opened up over the chair line. I pray that your people will receive everything that you have planned for them. Everything, Father God, that you had planned for them before even you placed them in their mother's womb. I ask you, Father God, to restore generational inheritances and blessings. I ask you this morning to bind Satan, bind up spirits of controversy, Bind up spirits of shame. Bind up treachery spirits that operate against God and his people. I break and destroy the power of all alluring spirits, seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, I'm very happy to be home. But I was happy to make this trip to round out this mission for 5778 to be able to go into 5779 with a fresh perspective, a fresh anointing, and new vision. As you know, I've been home, well, you probably don't know, but a couple of hours now. And the first thing that I had to do was decompress. Just decompress and begin to get by myself with God to find out what it was all about. Because truly, I never know. He just said, go, and I went. He said, take everybody with you, and I did. So, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that God is a really good God. The very first place that I went to, which is where I was supposed to go, was Wildwood, Florida. And the interesting thing is, I want to give a good morning to the villagers this morning, is that I was supposed to go to Wildwood not knowing that I was going to pass right by the senior village where the seniors get up and listen to me at 6 a.m. I mean, that was a real blessing. I couldn't go into the that part because guess what part I found out? Anyway, you can't go in that part just walking in. You have to be invited or a member of the family of somebody there. I wasn't, but I did call them up, and I am invited for Thanksgiving. I'm invited for Thanksgiving this year, and I'm invited for Christmas too, so whichever one. The Lord tells me I'll be going to celebrate either the birth of Jesus or Thanksgiving, something like that, with those headliners. And the reason I had to go there is because of I belong to a lot of not a lot, but three or four organizations associated with exorcism or deeper deliverance healing. And the president, which I had given my word that I would come earlier in the year, so I went. And I'm going to post pictures of all this. But the interesting thing about it is that I didn't realize that he had written a new manual on deliverance. But I don't have the manual in front of me. Maybe I'll have it tomorrow. In his manual, It's not really a man. It's prayers, and It's the longest. When he writes prayers, they be like 3 and 4, 2 and 3 and 4 hours. And so I got a chance to talk with him and get his perspective on deliverance for next year and the coming millennial kind of thing. But he did some pretty extensive teaching because that's his thing. I mean, part of his specialty is Freemasonry. He did some pretty extensive teaching on Freemasonry. And I'm trying to decide just how God's going to have me use it. I'll probably do a one day or one section Freemasonry prayer. I haven't unpacked any other books or anything I brought back. But I brought some books back. There are a couple of deliverance societies or whatever you want to call them, whatever. The spiritual warfare team, but this one is the Society of Deliverance Ministers. And they're a lot, each of these groups are very different from each other. One encompasses like the Cleansing Stream and Pastor Jack Hayford, like out of California. And then the other one is the Spiritual Warfare Team out of Texas. And I belong to them both, but they're both very different from each other. They're very diverse. The one out of Texas, that's Jerry McGee and Carla Bittard and Gene Moody. That's that group. This group over here was more involved with she just passed away, Pat Legato and others. They do a lot more teaching from a college level kind of teaching. And not necessarily from a college level, but they just do a lot more teaching like that. And it was time for me to keep my commitment. And I don't even do much with the other group that I'm a member of, because for years and years and years, I was like, I always talked about spirit, soul, and body salvation. I always talked about spirits, demons. And they always thought I was a little bit out there. Well, you know what, brothers and sisters? I'm not a little bit out there. I'm way out there. You know, don't be a little bit of anything. Whatever you're going to be it all the way and be proud of it and be bold in it. And I am, and I have been for a long time. But as I'm getting older and God is telling me to do things, it was time for me to do this. And then when I left, while we're in Florida, God had told me to go up to Dawsonville, Georgia. He said, go to Wildwood, Florida, sit in on that training, and then go to Dawsonville, Georgia, to a church called Christ Fellowship. Now, I had never been to Christ Fellowship, just like I'd never been to the Awakening, the Oil, and none of that. But I noticed something. I noticed that when I was mapping it out and getting the directions, and I said to myself, I said, this is within a 400, 500 mile radius. They're all in the 400 mile radius of each other. The awakening, which is where I started this journey under the tent, and then to Dalton, where I was led to the oil coming out the Bible, and then to Christ Fellowship. And I just found that interesting because we had turned down this big old, I don't know, 13-bedroom house up in by Cummins, Georgia. It wasn't too far from Cummins, Georgia, which is coming off of I-85 out of South Carolina, up that way. But I rarely go up there. But the reason God told me to go to Christ Fellowship Church is because, guess what? They're in revival too. And they're in a serious revival. The pastor took the whole church to a 40-day fast. I should say the pastor and the whole church went on the 40-day fast. And when they went on the 40-day fast, they were fasting for one thing, to get closer to God. To the pastor was fasting and wanted and went before God because he wanted a move of God in his church. In desiring this move of God for his church, God, he said he was walking the altar of his church. Now, this is a big church. It probably holds about, I don't know, I have to ask somebody that was with me. It probably holds at least, you think that church holds 1,000 people? More than 1,000. Well, you could say it holds 1,000 for sure. So what I didn't realize at first is that the pastor, just like up in Chucky, and all the pastors of this community came together, just like all the pastors came together in Chucky. But the difference is, where I was at in Dawsonville, you won't believe this. I mean, I couldn't hardly believe it. It was all Baptists. Yep, they were all Baptist preachers. And they came together for a move of God. God filled all those Baptist preachers with the Holy Ghost. You hear me? I'm talking Southern Baptists. If you know anything about Baptists, Southern Baptists. Conservative Baptists all got filled with the Holy Ghost. And when God filled them, a move of God started in all of the, it was about four or five pastors that came together. They prayed together. Their churches prayed together. The lead pastor of these group of pastors was walking his pulpit, and God said to him, baptism. Well, if you know anything about the Baptists, they have two things, salvation and baptism on their agenda all the time. Because remember, the Baptist church started out, the whole Baptist doctrine came into being because of John the Baptist baptizing. So all these Baptist preachers came together, and you would have thought you was in Pentecostal heaven. only thing I had to encounter there was maybe one little Pentecostal joke. But other than that, they more Pentecostal than the Pentecostals. So, the pastor said God told him to start baptizing the people. I don't know where the baptistry was, but I can tell you where the baptistry is right now. God told him to baptize the people. This pastor went out and built the baptistry coming off the altar. Are you hearing me? Off the platform on the right side of the pulpit is the baptistry. Now, what's happening is that people are being saved up to date. They have baptized 600 plus people. They got records of all kind of healing miracles and all kind of, it is just a move of God. I saw, well, my whole staff got baptized except one, because I had baptized them in the Atlantic Ocean. You see, I love the baptistry, but I like to baptize people in living water. That's just a personal thing of mine. Me, I go down to the river or go to the ocean, and I do my baptizing in the ocean. And so I had baptized Reggie in the Atlantic Ocean not long ago. So the only two people that didn't get baptized was Reggie and myself. But brothers and sisters, I sat there from 6 o'clock in the evening after the praise, after the worship, after the message. 1, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8. I saw people being baptized for 6 hours. Off the street. There was a whole bus that came from Birmingham. One pastor brought a whole busload from Birmingham. I saw, now I'm not even talking about the recorded testimonies that they had. I'm talking about what I saw with my own two eyes, what I sat there and prayed for 6 hours. It was that many people before my staff could get baptized. I met people there from, I need to talk to Sarah from Tennessee, because I met some people from Huntsville. And I would like to connect her with them. A ministry couple, prayer warriors, young, they, you know, love God, from Huntsville, and just moved to Huntsville with their job, something to do, I think, with the Redstone Army Arsenal. I didn't talk to them too much because nobody was doing a whole lot of talking, because God was manifesting his glory. So I'm sitting there. And I had Ken with me, Ken from Arizona. So Ken got baptized also. But let me tell you, those people were saved. I guess that's the best thing I could say. It is such a glorious feeling to be in a church full of saved people. And even the unsaved got saved. So when they had the altar call for salvation, I think it was only 50, 60 people got saved that night. But all the other folks, listen, were there because they wanted to be baptized. They wanted to be baptized. They had come there. A lot of them came because their family members had gotten baptized and had marvelous testimonies. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. That's all I can tell you. It was wonderful. And as I sat there, this preacher preached a message on seeing babies. Seeing babies. And how you can have all these seeing babies hanging off of you. Now, we know he's talking about demons. He didn't call them demons, but it's a long way. It's a long way. It's a miracle. It's a long way. These Baptists come a long way in Christ. In Christ. And the major thing they said, and I keep hearing, and this is what God wanted to resonate with me. I knew there was more. I knew there was more. That's what these Baptist preachers were saying. And when it came time to pray for the people at the altar, I'm not talking about the ones that got saved. I'm talking about just the people that came for prayer and restoration. Restoration. All these Baptist preachers got up, and people were being... God was just manifesting his glory all kind of ways. The floor was full. Some were crying, some were shaking. But they all had been touched by the glory of God. You see, that was especially relevant to me, having come out of a Baptist background, five generational Baptist background. And I've been praying for the Baptist church for 30 years. And I saw it. I saw it. There were testimonies of all kind of healings after they came out that water, and there were written testimonies of what people have gotten healed and saved and delivered from. And as I sit there, when they built their baptistry where you could walk into it, and I saw people after they had dunked them and laid hands on them, they had to float away. They had to float them back to the back. So I asked my husband. My husband got baptized again. Yep. I asked my husband, I said, what was happening? He said, well, they just floated them on back to the back. And they had a place back there, a way, that they just laid them out on the floor until they came out from under the power of the Holy Ghost. And he said that, like, it was people in that back room praying. It was prayer teams all over the place. This move of God came about by prayer, fasting, and supplication. These are the things I know they work. And they've been working since the day of Pentecost. They never stopped working. And I don't know what made, I do know the spirit of self gets in people and they think they're doing these things themselves. But clearly God is making it very, very evident who's doing it. He's making it very, very evident. Just like I said, he is alive. But you will miss him without a prayer life. You'll miss him if you don't believe he's here. He ain't got to come. He's here. He's here. I saw, I'm a witness to the manifestation of the power of God. And while I was sitting there praying and waiting and thinking, it got to be about maybe midnight, and I saw these people get up, and God had told me where to sit in the church. He had told me where to sit, and that's where I sat. Lo and behold, as I'm sitting there, I look up, and I see Mr. Pierce. I said, Mr. Pierce. He stopped. The lady stopped and the man stopped with him. He turned around and looked at me. I imagine that's the same way, Jose, that the blind man, when he cried out to Jesus and Jesus stopped, or the woman with the issue of blood, she just crept up. But I said, Mr. Pierce. He turned around. I said, Mr. Pierce, I was just up at the gift store. He said, well, when were you there? And I was so dumbfounded, I couldn't hardly remember when I was there. I said, Tuesday. And his wife said, who I didn't even know was his wife, he said, yeah. And she took my hands and she said, I took your picture. I said, that's right. You took my picture. And he said, oh, he said, I don't remember. He said, but it's okay. I said, Mr. Pierce, I said, would you be willing to come on my Ted Lyon radio program? He said to the other man, give her my card. And as he was giving me his card, he reached in his pocket and he gave Jose some of the oil. They had been there. And they were giving the oil out there. And remember, I told you, I thought, this is all within a 500-mile radius. Understand something, Chucky. Then I found out that the preacher who preached Dr. Death, the guy at this church had called him to come in, and this preacher had been allowing other preachers to preach in this revival. And all of them were part of the group that was praying for the move of God. And Mr. Pierce and them was praying up there in Dalton at the bookstore. Brothers and sisters, I'm just in awe of God. Just trust me. God has proven itself to me, not that he needed to, not that he had to, but with where I got to go, the people I've got to train, I needed to be the level I was on, coming off of, wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough for God, and it wasn't good enough for me. I'm so thrilled this morning. And so Mr. Pierce said he gave me his personal number. But I forgot to tell you, prior to that, while I was sitting there waiting, God had told me, get up, go talk to the pastor. I said, okay. He said, now take two of your business cards out of your card holder and carry two business cards up there when you go to talk to the pastor. And, you know, it was like, okay, God, what am I going to talk to him about? He said, I'll tell you when you get up there by him. So I went up there to the pastor. He turned around, looked at me, and said, yes. And I said, number one, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me, however the Lord leads you. He prayed for me. I said, and number two, I do a radio program called The Ted Line. Would you be willing to come on my radio program and talk to The Ted Line? And it would be a blessing to them, and it would increase their faith. He said, yes, I'll do it. He said, here is my personal cell phone number. Call me when you get back, and we'll set it up. I said, we will. He said, yes, we will. Baptist. Primitive Baptist. Southern Baptist, Baptist, Fundamentalist Baptist. God is great and greatly to be praised. That's all I could say. His prayer for me was, Lord, increase the anointing. Increase the anointing. Increase the anointing. Let her carry revival everywhere she goes. Increase the anointing. He don't know me from Adam. He didn't know anything about me. But you see, the Holy Ghost did. And that's when he told me to go at the exact moment. Right after that is when Mr. Pierce walked by me and his wife. How was I to know that it was his wife I was giving my camera to take a picture of me when I was in that gift shop that day? And then she would remember this Sunday at 1 o'clock in the morning. They were there till 1 in the morning. And then I'm finding out that all of these men got together and God answered the prayers of all of these preachers. It just came together. And not only did he answer their prayers in wonderful, miraculous ways? But these men are respecting each other, and they came together in unity in one heart for one purpose. More of God. More of God. More of God. Brothers and sisters, I want you to have more of God. More of God. More of God. Jesus is moving just like he said. Just like he said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall dream dreams, have visions. So I can come back with a good report. We are well able. We are well able. As a matter of fact, we were able before we went. Before we went. This is nothing new to this ministry. This is nothing new to me. Now, what's got to happen? What I haven't seen yet, and I'm getting ready to see that. I'm getting ready to see me do a meeting and tens of thousands show up. because the one thing all of them were missing everywhere I went, except to get the teaching down there in Wildwood, they're afraid. But I can show them how easy it is. You see, when I was in Wildwood, my friend said, everybody in here that's sick, raise your hand. Oh, everybody in here that's in need of a healing, that's what he said, raise your hand. I saw 1,000 people raise their hand. And I saw 1,000 people walk out of there unhealed. Where we were, from Florida back to Georgia, even one third of the people there got healed. But you see, Mr. Pierce had said, when I went up to Dalton, that the oil was for restoration, that God had said to them that the oil was for restoration. Brothers and sisters, healing is part of the covenant promise of salvation. What I'm saddened about is that while everybody was being baptized, I saw people on walkers. I saw people that had been in the water and not been healed. But the Holy Ghost said to me, if their demons had been cast out, Erica, they would have been able to receive healing. But because they ain't quite there yet, because they don't want to talk about demons, because they declared the building demon free. And then witches got up. We saw the witches. God brought the witches, right? Ain't that something? God brought the witches right in front of me. They were up in the altar doing praise and worship, doing their witchcraft signs, making us signs. Because the people that were there in the church don't know what the signs mean. It didn't stop anything, but I tell you what, it certainly caused a hindrance. And then my husband said the witch was in the back and got rageful and angry about something. Well, you know what that was about. Satan works them up in rage and anger so that their intent, so that the devil and the witch's intent will be unloosed through anger and rage. And the intent is intensified to jam up, stop up, or whatever. So I saw them too, and I just was binding them. They was probably mad because they didn't know what was binding them. They did not know what was binding them, but I was sitting there looking at them, binding them, rendering them null, void, ineffective, and powerless. It's hand signs that they use. You know how gangs use hand signs? Well, witches have signs too. And they can use it, but they can't stop it depending on how high the anointing is in the room. And this church, it has some of the most anointed musicians. They know how to do warfare. They think they're just playing good music, but they were doing warfare with them guitars and drums and keyboards. And they played the whole night till 1 a.m. until the last person was baptized. Yeah, they use signs, just like the Masons use signs. You know how the Masons use them secret handshakes and all the signs they use when they lock back on one leg and rock? Yes. brothers and sisters. It didn't stop them. They got rageful and left on up out of there. But I know it affected those that were weak. That's why God said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I'm going to inform the pastor of what I saw. I'm going to inform them and tell them what they can do, that if it had been a little bit higher, if the intercessors and prayer warriors had known how to really pray against them, they'd have run on up out of there. They'd run up out of there faster than they got out, because they came there for power, and one of the witches got baptized. But do you think that witch's baptism was of God or was going to, it couldn't do anything. It was bound. Maybe, I don't know, because I ain't Jesus and I ain't trying to be. But maybe one of those witches got saved. But they came there with intent, and they came there purposefully to hinder. I saw the witches in Florida. I saw them in where I was, Dawsonville. Now, I wasn't up in Dalton long enough to see no witches. I didn't see none, I have to tell the truth. But I wasn't looking for none either. I was looking for that Bible with the oil pouring out of it. So I got lots of pictures. I got lots of pictures. Reggie took lots of pictures. And as soon as I can, I'm going to have them posted. If you've been to Tedline, I got the pictures from the oil up. I put a new page up called Awakening on the last page on the Tedline. I'm going to put this up. I'm going to contact my friend to see if I can distribute the deliverance manual, because I think it's one of the best ones out there, because he took time to categorize the names of these demons, to categorize them. So I'm going to call him maybe in a couple of days and put a page up on my website of maybe some other books too. Because yesterday's stuff, it's a new day. It's a new day. That's why I played that song for you. A new anointing is coming your way. It is. It is. God is doing some phenomenal things. So don't you believe these people who tell you Jesus is dead? Don't you believe these people who are trying to make you think God is powerless? God is moving by his own Holy Spirit through his own men and women that are seeking him. God is showing himself to be alive and well. God is confirming his word with signs and wonders. Personal. The thing I love, personal revival. That's how you revive. And guess what? These people are pressing in for revival for their whole communities. And they came together. And I was up all night doing, I'm going to try to get it done. But before I give you this teaching, I need you to read the book of Hosea. Read Hosea. And this is what God said to me. Come out of Hosea. And let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up. Hallelujah. So, this teaching that I started putting together from all of this, because I had to get it. I had to process it. I'm still processing it. I am still processing it. This is what I know of a surety. Our Father, through His Son, and by the power of His own Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, will tell you what to do, will give you instructions in order for you to possess what He has for you to possess. Your job is to do whatever is required to obey Him. When you do your part, you will not miss His part for you. I want you to read, it ain't but about 8. I read it last night, the whole book of Hosea. It's only 12 chapters, and some of those chapters are not very big. Please read it. Please read it. Because when I get this whole thing together, brothers and sisters, I mean, I got to get it together, you know, like where it's transferable, where to a 5 or 6 year old can get it. But I'm going to tell you something. All I could think about was I went to the water and I got baptized. You know that song I'll be playing on here, I Come to Tell You? I come to tell you this morning. Those of you over there in Paraguay, I know you can't get here. But in the name of Jesus, revival is going to transfer to you right through this deadline. Those of you in South Africa, revival is going to transfer to you right through this deadline. Those of you over there in Sweden, revival is going to transfer to you right through this deadline. Revival, the spirit of revival, is going to hit you. And when it hits you, it's going to spread like wildfire. I'm so happy to be home now to put it all together, to see God make it work. I'm a living witness. I'm a today's living witness. God wants to take me to a whole other level of belief. God had to show me something that I prayed for that I didn't even believe would ever be possible to happen. But you know what? In that Christ Fellowship Church, their slogan is, nothing is impossible with God. This will go down in the Bible Encyclopedia. I hope somebody's writing a book right now. The day the Baptist came and prayed, asked God to fill them with the Holy Ghost, and God did. I'll see you tomorrow on the tail end.
I came to tell you. Anybody give me, Lord? But Jesus found you, and you